Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
I'm going to bring a word that you need to understand with your heart and with your spirit and not with your mind. Is that okay? And I prayed before I came here that God will do the work. I've been in the ministry long enough to know that I can do absolutely nothing. And if you think you can do something, you need a couple more years with God, then you'll know that you can do nothing, but God can do anything. And I'm trusting that He will do something in our hearts this evening, and we might go 5 or 10 minutes over time. Is that okay? Do you have tests and things? Okay, I'll do my best to do this in half an hour. I remember when I was a student, people my age, I'm 41, in case you wonder, people that are my age would say, "Oh, it's so easy to be a student. Those were the best days. And we just, you know, it was so much fun. And you could just stay awake until 1 o'clock at night. And it's such an easy life." And I remember thinking, it's not that easy for me to be a student. Is there anybody here that can agree with that? I mean, studying is just excruciating. I absolutely am not a study kind of person. I was a procrastinator, which I do regret. And I bind the spirit of procrastination over you this evening. But I remember the stress from having to study through the night. And I did not find it easy to be a student. So I want you to know that this middle-aged person that you see right now, do not think that it is easy to be a student. Okay. I know it's tough for most of you. I want to read a scripture from Psalm 66, verse 8 to 12. And I am fairly sure that very few of you have ever heard this scripture in a sermon, because as preachers, we generally stay away from these kind of scriptures. But here goes. "Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved." Listen to this. "For you, oh God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water." And then this one little last sentence that we do like. "But you brought us out to reach fulfillment." So what do we do with a scripture that says God lays affliction on our backs? What do we do with a scripture like that? What the scripture is basically saying, the psalmist is basically saying, I'm lying on the railway and the train is driving over me over and over again. And I'm dying here. And this is hard. But then it ends with rich fulfillment. I want to read to you what Paul said. Do you know who Paul was? Do you know that he's from the New Testament? Okay. I'm just checking. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 9. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Let me just pause there. What this scripture is saying is we have weak and frail bodies, earthen vessels, so that when we do get something right, God can get all the glory. Who of you have noticed that your body is frail and that you can be tempted? And that you can do things that you don't actually want to do. because our bodies and our souls are frail. That's why it says it's an earthen vessel. It's weak, but God can be glorified through us if we do act strongly. We'll get back to this. Let's carry on with the next scripture. Sorry, I can also, okay. Listen to this. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. This scripture is basically saying the same thing than the first scripture. Now, I'm sure if you look at the media, if you read the news, if you watch television, you can see that the world is suffering. And please tell me, for those of you who are still younger, in your 20s, please tell me that you are not one of those young people who is only concerned about your own life. Please tell me that you actually read and see what is going on in the world and see the severe suffering that the world is in. And us that are sitting here, most of us are extremely privileged. We are not being persecuted. We are not hungry. We are not fleeing for our lives. Those of us who have children, our children are not being killed. We are safe, fairly, relatively speaking. We have it easy. Are you aware of that? I hope you are aware of that. Compared to the rest of the world, we have it very easy. We are privileged. But yet, I know that many of you that are sitting here have many battles that you are fighting right at this very moment. And I know that many of you that are sitting here are really suffering. And I want to speak about that. Now, when we make a commitment to the Lord, I did it in 1995 at the student NG church here in Stellenbosch, there by the circle, near the mall. I went to the front. There was a speaker from America, Floyd McClung. He made an invitation, and on one Thursday evening in October, I gave my life to God. And about 2 weeks after that, I joined Shofar. And when I gave my life to God, I made this commitment. I said, God, I want to live for you. And I take my life now, and I give it to you. You take it, and you do with it whatever pleases you. Who of you have done that? Do you mind showing me? It's fine if your hand is not up. Please put your hand up if you did that. Okay, many of us did that. Do you know what happens when we do that? When we become born again, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, we say all kinds of things. We say, God, I want to die to self. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to know you. God, I give control of my life over to you. And we have no idea. We have no idea what we are saying. And we are fickle and feeble knees and afraid. And God knows, as we are saying it, He knows how weak we are. But guess what? He is committed to that confession. He is committed to that confession. And if you said, God, I want to know you, and you actually meant it, even if you were weak, sinful, even if you were busy with the greatest sin in your life, but you came to that point where you said, God, I want to, even if you carried on with your sin afterwards and you had to make a recommitment, if there was some point when you gave charge over to God and you meant it, then you must know that He will reveal Himself to you. And if you read the Bible, which I hope you are doing for yourself, not only experiencing it through a preacher or a teacher, if you read the word of God, show me one person. Show me one person in the Bible who was not suffering, who did not go through a valley, and sometimes the valley of the shadow of death, in their pursuit after God. Think about them. Think about Joseph. Think about Esther. Think about Daniel. Think about Paul. Think about Peter. Think about every single one of them. They are all over the Word of God. Now, if we look at Job, I hope that you know the story of Job. And if you don't, I want to encourage you to go and read it. Job lost everything. Now, some of us here have lost something. Some of us have lost loved ones to death. Some of us lost cars or houses or jobs. Some of us failed at whatever we are studying. Some of us lost precious relationships. If you take all of those things and you put all of them together, that was the life of Job. Job lost everything. And Job was wrestling with God. Go and read it. He was wrestling with God. Who would not? And he was struggling it through with God. And listen to Job's conclusion. He even lost his health. Some of you here, you have lost your health. You are trusting God to get it back. You know what it feels like to lose your health. Job lost everything. Listen what Job says in Job 42, verse 1, 2, and 5. Then Job answered the Lord, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. I have heard of you, but after this journey with you, my eyes can see you. Do you know that song I think it's Beth El, that says, I apologize, there's still pepper spray here. How he loves us so. Do you know that song? It's an oldish song. It's about 8 to 10 years old, I suppose. And it says, he is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. Do you know the song? I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. I would like to change those words to bending beneath the wind of his love and mercy. Did you understand that song when you sang it? It speaks about the fact that sometimes we will bend under the hand of God. And I hope and I pray that you will understand this. The hand of God will weigh heavily upon us, like with Job. Why is that? Can I tell you why that is? Because God says, you said that you want to know me. And you said that you want to follow me. But you have one problem, and we all come to God with that problem. Every single one of us. It is pride. We all have it. We were all born in sin. If you have children, anybody here with children, I saw Louis there at the back. Anybody else with children, a couple of us that are a bit teeny weeny bit older. I promise you, if you have children, you will know that we are all born in sin. Children are born in sin. They are very cute until they can move, walk, and talk. And then you see that they are full of sin. And their sin will challenge you day and night. And it's your responsibility to shape them and form them. God says, as long as you are standing upright, you will never know me. But when you bend and when you go very low, like I'm so grateful that Christo had us all bend. It was such a confirmation to this word. God says when you bend and when you lie prostrate on your face before me, I can reveal myself to you. Because the word of God says he resists the proud, but he exalts who? The humble. That is why, if we want to know Jesus, the word says, take up your cross. That is why we need to go through difficult things so that we can know God. And I promise you, I've been born again since 1995, so it's about, 21 years. There are people who's been born again for much longer. I do not in any way think that I have arrived. On the contrary, not at all. But I want to say what I have learned from the past 21 years is that knowing God will never come easily. Can I repeat that? Knowing God will never come easily. We can know about God. We can sing for God. We can worship. I see people when they are in love. You hear that somebody is now in a relationship. Check it out. You can check it out. You must see how they worship. It's wonderful. Then they break up. And it hurts when you break up. Been there, done that, I know. And your heart is broken. Now I want to see how they worship God. Because when they were in love, it was easy to know God. Now God says, I am giving you a fantastic opportunity to know me. Because now you are desperate before me. Now my hand is weighing heavily on you. It feels like an affliction and you are forced to your knees. And that is when you are crying and you say, God, I cannot do this. Why don't you rescue me? God, where are you? God, why are you not helping me? God, why are you not making me feel better? That is where God wants to meet us. Because then we come in humility. And then we realize, I cannot comfort myself. I cannot help myself. Indeed, when the word of God said, I can do nothing, it was true. I want to read another scripture. From 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 to 10. Who of you know who Jabez was? Please put up your hands. Okay, that's good news. Many of us do not. If you go to 1 Chronicles 4, there's a genealogy. So this one begot that one and that one begat. Some Bible says begat. Isn't that a weird word? So this one begat this one and that one, this one at that one. Do you ever read it? I don't really read it. But now, in Chronicles, there's a genealogy. And then halfway, it stops with all the names. I wanted to say all the boring names, but perhaps I shouldn't say that it's boring. And maybe you can find a name for your child there one day when you have children. So halfway through, it stops. And then it speaks about Jabez. And it describes Jabez. And it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The name Jabez means to bring pain. So she had a difficult delivery of her baby. And I did this 5 times. It is quite a challenge to bring a baby into this world. She was very challenged in this regard. And she decided, it hurt so much, I'm just going to call this child, you will bring pain. That's terrible. And whenever anybody spoke to Jabez, they cursed him. They said, you will bring pain. Whenever they called him, whenever they spoke to him, whenever they addressed him, they said to him, you will bring pain. What did Jabez do? And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. He was crying from a very humble place of suffering. So God granted him what he requested. There's an amazing thing that we see here. Jabez said, God, I want you to enlarge my territory. You know what God wants to do for every single one of you that is sitting here? He wants to enlarge your territory. He wants to take you further than you ever thought you could go. Without him, you will never be able to do it. You can only take yourself so far. But then God will come, and the Spirit of God will come, and he will enlarge your territory. He will increase your influence. He will give you more than you ever dreamt you could have, spiritually for some, emotionally for some, even physically for some, depending on what your calling is. But to be able for God to trust you to enlarge that territory, he needs for you to know him. Because if you don't know him, if you don't really know him, he cannot reveal his secrets to you. Because it is precious. And he says, who will go? He says, I'm looking for somebody that I can trust. Somebody who knows me, who trusts in me, who has faith in me. It's got nothing to do with love. He loves us unconditionally. We have little Leisha. She's 9 years old now. When she was a toddler, when she was about 3, she had a thing for a Cokie, especially a permanent marker. She had a thing. She could not resist it. I would put it high up in the cupboard. And when I'm somewhere where I can't see her, for instance, in the loo or somewhere, then she would climb up on the cupboard and she would find that permanent marker and she would draw on a bed or a duvet or a wall or a cupboard. And we did everything. We disciplined her. We spoke to her. Eventually, we prayed over her. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. Did we love Leisha with all of our hearts? Did we trust Leisha? Not at all. Not at all. And do you know what was alive in my heart? My heart said to me, once if I see that I can trust Leisha with a Cokie, I will buy her every single Cokie that she desires. If she will stick to the paper, because then we would give her a paper and she would start on the paper. Good girl. And then she would just like carry on the table. And I knew if Leisha can be trusted with a Cokie, if Cokies is something that she, that makes her happen, if it's her passion in life, we will get it for her. We will send her to art classes. We will do whatever it takes when we can trust her. But she had to suffer. She had to be disciplined. She had to be disciplined often. The time when we visited my parents and they had like a couch that was extremely, still is extremely important to them. And Leisha took that permanent marker and she drew snakes on it, like black snakes or snails or I don't know. I just call them snakes because they freaked me out. It was just like lines. That was the time when she had the most severe discipline. But now, we can trust her because she's responsible now. And God says, bend under my hand. It may not feel like love. It may not seem like mercy. But trust me in this place of suffering. Because that is where you will meet me. That is where you will know my voice. Let me read another scripture. Romans 9. Verse 14, 15, and 20. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, Why have you made me like this? What the word of God is saying here, and I'm going to say it straight just like it is, God is God and he can do whatever he wants to do. Our culture rejects this. Our culture, and I'm speaking about the Western culture, I'm not so sure about all the other cultures, but I can see most of us here most probably represent the Western culture. We reject this. We want God to do it our way. Do you know what the truth is? You can tantrum until you are blue, green, purple, and black in your face. God is God. And he can do whatever he wants to. Here's the good news. A little bit further, in Romans, it says, every single one who calls out to the Lord Jesus will be saved. Here's the other good news. All things will work together for all of us who are called to his purposes and who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We must learn to embrace whatever God is allowing in our lives. We must look in the mirror and we must stop complaining to God, because the word says, can the thing that was formed speak against the one who formed it? If you don't like your nose or whatever else, look in the mirror and thank God, because he knows best. He loves you. And he made you, he created you for a purpose. And don't die one day and you did not pursue that purpose. You know how many people? I know it because I see it. I've seen it over many years. And it saddens me. You know how many people say, God, I want to know you? And then the affliction comes that the Bible says, God places on our backs. Then the hand of God comes and it weighs down on them. He allows all kinds of things in their lives. And they say, this cannot be God. I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to do this any longer. And some people still come to church and they still go to small group and they still sing in the worship team, but in their hearts, they have decided, I will live a mediocre life. I cannot accept what is coming my way. I want to say something very boldly this evening. Whatever is coming your way, embrace it. Thank God for it. And ask God to show you how to respond to it. Don't turn your back on God. You will lose, not him. You will lose. He loves you. There is a place where we rebuke Satan. Obviously, sickness is not from God. And we do pray for sick people. And I really want to say, if you are here and you do not have your health, I really feel for you. It must be the hardest thing. But I want to say that sometimes God will not heal you instantly because He wants you to go very low. I know this is hard. I don't know about your life, but I am saying worship God in every circumstance because He's busy with you. He's busy with you. When the time comes, when you really feel afflicted, when it really doesn't seem like love, when it really doesn't seem like mercy, worship God. You can go and see a counselor. It might help a little bit. You can write a letter to somebody. It might help a little bit. You can do all kinds of things. You can do, I don't know what you do to cope. I'm telling you this evening, worship God in that place. I want to speak about mercy. You know, in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, which was the presence of God dwelled in the tabernacle. And there was a mercy seat. The mercy seat spoke about atonement. It spoke about the fact that Jesus was going to give His life, His blood for us, so that we can be free from sin and live eternally with Him. That mercy, the mercy, you know what mercy speaks about? It speaks about unfailing love. It speaks about kindness. It speaks about tenderness. It speaks about a God who knows what it is to suffer, and He has a great deal of compassion. And when you get to know Him in that place, you really get to know Him and you really get to trust Him, because He never fails you. He never fails you. Christo asked this evening, are you willing to bow your knee? And I'm saying this evening, are you willing to bend under the hand of God? He knows what is best for you. He knows what He has to allow and do in your life so that you may know Him, so that your territory can be extended. I saw a vision once. Actually, it was just a little picture. It just sounds so much better if I call it a vision. I was complaining with God. And I said, God, I am really suffering here, and I don't think that You are aware of it. And God showed me a kitty, like a slingshot, with a little pebble, a clean clippy in it. And He said, you are that little pebble. He said, watch this. The further I pull this pebble back, the further I pull it back, the further it will shoot out. So I can let go now, and your suffering might stop, but you will land there, and your territory will not be extended. But if you allow me to pull you back a little more, a little more, so you say, God, I cannot take it anymore. God says, I know, just a little more. And He lets go of you, you will shoot out like an arrow, and you will land very far, and your territory will be extended. And just when you get comfortable in that territory, just when it's nice, then God says, okay, now we need to extend your territory a little bit more. And we say, no, God, I'm happy here. God says, but you wanted to know me, remember? You wanted to know me. I want to increase your influence. I want to use you. I want many, many lives to change because of you, because of your life. I want people to be delivered and set free and healed because of your life and your testimony, because the words from your mouth will be like a fountain of living water. That cannot happen if you are not bowing your knee and submit to my way of loving you, because it is love. Can I say that again? It is love. Let me read a last scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, even when you were still dead in your sin, he loved you like that, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is a mouthful. I will explain it. God says, you have not been saved because of your works. You have not been saved because you are a good person. You were born in sin. Ask your mom and dad. They will confirm this to you. You were born in sin. God says, but because I loved you so much, because of my grace, my unmerited favor, it cannot even be measured. Because of that, I have saved you. I have forgiven you. You only need to come and repent 77 times 7 every day. I will forgive you, because all I see is the blood of Jesus when I look at you. Because he paid for your sin. And because of all of this, you will go and do good works. And those good works will bring life. Can I tell you where you find your set of good works? It's different for all of us. Whether you're studying or already are a teacher or a mother at home or a lawyer or a farmer or a salesman or a cleaner or a driver or a doctor, whatever you may be, God says, for you especially, I have some good works. You will only find it in humility on your knees. It is like a gift, and it is wrapped. And as long as you are standing upright and you are proud and you think I can do this, you will not be able to open that gift. It simply will not open. But when you are there in humility before God, allowing him, allowing his hand to weigh upon you, in that place where you get to know him, really know him, in that place, you will find what your good works are, and you will pursue those good works, and it will bring life. Can we stand? The word of God says, come to me. All you who are heavy burdened, come to me. I am going to give you rest. We need to find that rest. We don't find it anywhere else but in God. We only find it when we come in humility. And when we find it, we are rejuvenated. We are restored. We are being made new. We fly like eagles. We can face anything because we know the safe place. Let's just close our eyes. Father God, we thank you for the incredible privilege, Lord, of having a rich life, a full life with you, that will end in rich fulfillment. Father, thank you that when we tell you that we want to know you, that you actually believe us, God. Even though you see us in our weakness and in our sin and in our immaturity and in all our failures, you take us up on that, God. You take that confession seriously and you start walking with us. Father, I pray that every one of us here will allow your hand to rest upon us and to push us down to that place where we meet with you. And Father, thank you that your hand on our backs will become a soft hand and a tender hand and a kind hand and a loving hand when we meet you in that place. On our knees, I want to extend an invitation. We are not going to pray over you this evening. It's between you and God. But I want to ask, give me another 5 minutes. I want to ask if you want to tell God this evening, and I know that some of us here, we really need to do that. If you want to tell God, God, I am bending. I am bending, God. I will allow you. I am bending because I want to know you. Because I want you to extend my territory. Because I want to, God. Because my heart is after you. If that is you, won't you just come and bend here in the front? Please just come out. If you are not comfortable to come out, if you are uncomfortable to come out, that is absolutely fine. I can encourage you to bend right there where you are. If you cannot bend, some of us cannot actually bend, you can sit, you can stand, you can do whatever. But we are actually going to bend our hearts. We are going to bend our hearts and we are going to say, God, we allow you. We allow you, God, because we want to know you, just like Joseph, just like Daniel, just like Moses, just like Aaron, just like Miriam, just like Deborah, just like Paul, just like John the Beloved. We want to fulfill our set of good works. Father God, we want to pray over every person that is bowing here in front of you, Father. Everyone in a chair at the back who is bowing, Father. Father, we pray that you will look down on us and that you will see, God, that our hearts are bending. Are bending this evening. Our hearts are bending, God. Father, we pray that in this place, God, of bending, we will know you. We will know you, God. We will know your love like never before. We will know your tenderness and your kindness and your faithfulness and your unfailing, unconditional, everlasting love like never before. I want to ask you just where you are in your own words. Just tell God. Just tell God why you are bending. Just tell God what is in your heart as you are bowing down before Him right now. Each individual.
Father, we want to lift up to you every set of good works that is represented here, Father, for every life. Father, we lift it up to you as a sacrifice, God, not by works but by grace. Thank you, God, that every morning when we wake up, your mercies are new. Thank you, God, that your grace is enough. Thank you, Jesus, that we will walk in that set of good works because we will know you, God. Because just like Job, we will say, I've heard you with my eyes, with my ears, but now I see you. Now I see you with my eyes. I know you, God. And for the rest of my life, I will get to know you better and better and better. Father, I worship you for the fruit that will come from these bended hearts, everlasting, eternal fruit forever and ever, for the many lives that will be touched and changed because of these bended hearts. Father, thank you that you say in your word, every tear that we cry, you know about it, you collect it, you know about it, God, you are there, and the Spirit of God is our comforter, and it is not for nothing, it is not to no avail, it is for a great purpose. I just feel that God says to some of you here in the front that are on your knees, your tears were not for nothing, it is for a great purpose. Allow me to form you and shape you and mold you. Because it is my love. It is my love.
I'm going to ask Chris to just sing a song over these people. I just believe that God wants to minister through him in a song over you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.